Today's Mishnah, Masechet Machshirin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hey. So continuing on, the question of at what point it's considered to be the Tchilasei Beratzein, according to Beis Hillel, that where we spoke about a case where you have one thing and it falls, the water falls from one part of that thing to another. We talked about the case of the eitz that fell onto a different eitz. We talked about the socha, where it fell from one socha to another, even though it's the same object. We talked about the actual sacks that are filled with things, and you let the water drip down, went from one sack to another sack. A closing issue of this idea is also the question about our Mishnah squeezing something, and again, the part that comes out is considered to be Bechiyutan, and the water that remains behind is, even though you tried squeezing it, and it may have been moved from one place to another, is not considered a Libet Rebbe, a Libet Beis Hillel. So, once again, HaMemachiket HaKresha, so if somebody, now the Rishonim say that Kresha in this case does not mean what it usually means, which is a leak, and that for some reason here we're talking about the chatzir, which is, I guess, hay. You've got a pile of hay that got wet, and you're squeezing it. Or hasochet sa'aro, you squeezed your hair because you got caught in a rainstorm. And the correct gersa is probably uchsuto, and your coat that got, which some of the Rishonim have, your coat that got caught in the same rainstorm. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, this water that you got out of it, of course, is b'chiyutan, because that's perfectly Ritzono, was to get it from there and to move it out, and therefore it was ne'akar tchilasei l'ratzein. But what remains behind in your hair, what remains behind in the coat, et shebo eino b'chiyutan, because his intention all along was to get the water out completely, not from one part to another, b'pnei shehu mitkaven sheyetzku mikulo. And therefore, according to the sheet of Beis Hillel that we had before in Mishnah Beit, and the continuing Mishnah is, whatever is left behind is not going to be machshir. Mishnah Vav. Anufiach ba'adashim. Levotkanim yafotin. Now, there's different approaches to this. One approach is you blow, and it makes a nafkamina in actually how we're going to understand the Mishnah. You blow on adashim with your mouth to see if you can get a lot of junk, you know, that was mixed with the adashim. So you blow on it, and the other stuff goes out. Now, if it's high quality, it doesn't have much waste material in it. So this was sort of a test to see how high the quality was. The less junk there is in it, the better are the adashim. That's one approach. Now, the other approach, which most hold, is talking about you blow on adashim means that you breathe on adashim, and you breathe on them the way you would breathe on your glass lenses to see if the water condenses and how much condenses on these lentils. And the reason that that's important is because if the water condenses rapidly from your breath, then that is a sign that these are higher quality lentils, because it means that the coolness that's coming from the absorptiveness of the inside that's right behind what you're breathing on is right up against, there's no air space that is between the actual meat of the lentil and the outside cover which you're breathing on. So that's a sign that these are fresher and that they're going to boil better. So now the question is over here, whether there may be a number of different issues over here. And remember that it's not so simple that just because something is made out of HTO, that gives it a din of mayin vis-a-vis the halacha of mashkin. Because remember, I mean, one of the shiva mashkin is tal. I don't think that anybody's going to argue that tal is this good old-fashioned HTO that condenses. And in fact, we're even going to be talking about condensing water in the next parak, a lot about that. And we view that as being almost the same as splashing water from the place that it was condensing from. So there's different levels of how much we see the water content as being directly a part of actual mashkir called mayin. So, I mean, the difference here is if you actually blow on it, and you're not just breathing on it. So if you're blowing on it, you actually are going to get some saliva on it that always comes out because you're putting effort into blowing through your mouth, and you're going to detach little bits of water. Now, saliva itself is definitely considered to be water. The question is whether condensate from your lungs is considered to be water. So some learned that that's the issue over here, and that the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim is legabe, the actual din, as to whether it is considered to be mayim. Others understand that the machlokas in the Mishnah, in which Rabbi Shimon says it's not b'chiyutan, and the Chachamim say it is b'chiyutan, that is because even though you had no intention of making it wet, but since the act that you wanted to do is by definition an act that makes it wet, so according to that, the Chachamim hold that you know perfectly well that you're going to wet it, either with your saliva, or according to the other pshat, with your condensate, and therefore it would be also considered to be b'chiyutan. The next case is a cute case where somebody's eating sesame seeds. Now, these are tiny little seeds, of course, and the best way of eating sesame seeds is you put the sesame seeds in one hand, in the palm, and then you wet a finger of the other hand by putting it into your mouth, and then you put the wet finger into your palm, and it picks up whatever sesame seeds stick on it, and then you put that in your mouth. So in that case, if somebody's eating sesame like that with your wet finger, the question is that ultimately, when you stick your wet finger into your palm, on the other hand, you may leave behind some saliva on that hand, which you really had no intention of doing. So again, Rabbi Shimon says, well, that's not called b'chiyutan, because that's not where you wanted that saliva to go. And that saliva, therefore, you only wanted to get a wet finger. You don't want to get a wet hand. And the Chachamim say, again, you wanted to put the saliva on your fingers, and because of that, wherever it ends up, it's tchilas eberatzet. And because of that, all of it is considered to be something that would be an actual tiyuta. And there was an actual maisa in Yerushalayim with the Sakri Kohen. You remember the Sakri Kohen, those are the goyim that would come at a time when things were really horrible. The Romans were doing whatever they wanted. At the beginning of that period, they actually offered bounties for dead Jews. So anyway, they would go around doing whatever they wanted with Jewish property. So they had come into Yerushalayim, and they had a lot of develot. Develot, of course, are the fig cakes, you know, they're like pressed fig cake. And what they did was, to hide them, is they put them in a place which is not good for dried fig cakes, meaning they put them under water, and therefore the secret kid would never think to look there to find their fig cakes. And the Chachamim said that they're Torah, because they definitely did not want the water to get on them. They were only putting it in the water in order to hide it. And the next case was a case of where you're carrying a heavy load, a sack, let's say, of apples, and you got a great idea. You're walking along, suddenly you find yourself walking along a river, and the river's got a nice flow to it. So you decide, okay, let me tie a rope, tie it around my hand, and I'll put the entire bag of apples into the river and let them float along with me. So hanotin pirotav b'shibolet hanahar, in order that it go in the same direction where you're going, enon b'chiyutan, for the same reason. You have absolutely no desire to make the fruit wet, but you do need them to be taken down the river with you. And so because of that, there is everybody's motive that in this case, there was no desire for anything to get wet. Now, this last case of the Mishnah makes the entire Mishnah contradict itself, because if the Mishnah is talking over here about putting the fruit in the river, you obviously know that the fruit is going to get wet, right? So the point is that because he doesn't want the fruit to become wet, so what's the difference over here? If he didn't want his hand to become wet, so to say that, well, he knew it was going to get wet, is not really to the point. Now, you know, you can obviously make a difference between the cases where he specifically does not want the fruit to get wet. And in the case over here about his palm, picking up the sesame, is akin to, actually, the only way I could pick it up is by, you know, making it a little wet. So, okay, but the maisa, as I said earlier, the real machlokas that we mentioned, which is actually where the Rambam understands that, is that the question is specifically the issue of whether we're talking about the hevel, which is zeya. It's a condensate that comes from a person. He compares this to the cases in the next parak, says the Rambam, in which we are going to be learning that the zeya is not machsheret. And this is no different than that. So he's learning the chachamim omrim, halachu tahu mi hevel hapeh. On the other hand, the chachamim say, no, it's coming out of the mouth, and kol mashi yetzei min hapeh is machsher, because it's mitoldos hamayim. So that would go for be the machlokas. Another possibility.